supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Water, water everywhere. Here on Earth, on other planets, moons, comets, even asteroids. Let's take it up with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, a reminder, what is an asteroid? And prior to this, did we think that water was a component?
An asteroid is one of the many components of the solar system that was created in the early history of the solar system, probably was part of a planet that had formed and then broken apart, and now are found in distribution in orbits around the sun. And when we look around the solar system, it certainly has become apparent to us that water was a major component at Mars. We now know that there's water ice in shaded craters on the moon. We know that some of the moons of the largest planets of the solar system have watery interiors. We're certain about that. And we've also suspected for quite some time that water is a major component in comets. But for asteroids to join this group is quite a surprise. Or perhaps it shouldn't be considered a surprise, and water is just much more important in the formation of solar systems than we ever suspected before.
Solar systems, has water yet positively been detected on planets outside of our solar system?
There's a lot of work being done to try to identify water vapor, maybe in the atmosphere of one of the exoplanets or protoplanets orbiting other stars in distant corners of our galaxy. But we haven't found very much in that way yet. There's no reason for us to assume that ours is the only solar system that is showing us the role that water has played in so many different ways beyond just our standard of Earth, even though many of those planets that we see orbiting other stars are so different from ours. I mean, as of yet, we haven't identified a real, quote-unquote, Earth-like planet. We found planets that are approaching our size, but still maybe two or three times as massive. We found things that we believe are rocky planets, but we haven't found any yet that show us real evidence of water. And so just judging on the number that are out there, it seems probable that at one point we'll find something that is not only closer to our planet or closer to our own solar system, but also shows us significant evidence of the role that water can play there too.
What an exciting time for you and your astronomer cohort. As you say, it's just in the past 20 years that we've learned about water beyond our planet.
You know, this is one of the more exciting aspects of discovery in our galaxy and around the rest of the universe is that we can estimate that there are millions of other stars with planets, probably way more than that, but I like to be on the conservative side. There's a new and wonderful discovery happening almost every day. And the point is not that the discoveries are happening so much, as the point would be that we're learning so much. There's so much for us to learn about our galaxy and about the rest of the universe.
We are learning more about the aforementioned moon, not only water, but lava?
Indeed, yes. Our moon certainly has had a significant amount of volcanic activity in its past. Maybe not the most recent volcanic activity, but definitely indication of volcanic craters or volcanic mounts, and also something that's much more familiar here on Earth, lava tubes. If anyone's visited the Big Island of Hawaii and has taken in the tour of the volcanic regions, one of the big attractions is the opportunity to walk through a lava tube. You know, lava tubes can be, you know, hundreds of meters long and several meters wide and, you know, big enough for people to certainly walk through on a tour. But imagine a lava tube that's several hundred meters wide and maybe 88 meters deep. Now, if you think of a tube that big, that then opens up lots of possibilities for establishing outposts on the moon where humans can live and work. And the reason why this becomes an important consideration is because Vice President Pence has indicated that the Trump administration's intent for space exploration will be far more focused on returning to the moon than actually pushing for human exploration of Mars. Now, there's yet to be appointed an administrator for NASA, and no plan has really been well laid out. But if you go with that as an indication of a possible direction, then we have to think about how is it that we protect humans on the moon. Spacesuits are great and everything, but A, they don't last very long. They're not really built for long-duration operation on the surface of the moon. And the other thing is, how do you create a habitat for people to live on the moon that has the protections that are necessary against micrometeoroids and cosmic radiation or solar radiation? Well, one way to do that would be to occupy an underground facility. And lava tubes present just such an opportunity because they can be very long and very wide. In fact, there's one lava tube on the moon that's measured at 1.7 kilometers long and 120 kilometers wide. Well, we could possibly, in the future, with the right engineering, take over something like that and build our habitats in the tube because it's beneath the surface of the moon, and that way we can use the lunar soil above us to protect us from the harsh radiation from the sun, from cosmic rays, and micrometeoroid bombardment.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.